Just a couple quick comments, and then I'll open it up for questions. We've got votes starting at 10:30, and I'm actually supposed to be in the chair, but I bought a little extra time. This morning, I got talked into walking. You're supposed to be running, but I was walking in a race that raises money for wounded warriors, and so I'm kind of hobbling around already. Good job, huh? And they raise a tremendous amount of money. It's underwritten by the life insurance industry, and a lot of members show up. And, of course, I was the slowest. Even Grassley beat me. That's a sad moment, isn't it? He's actually pretty good. In fact, I think his team might have won. So when you see him, and I'm sure you will, congratulate him on a good showing this morning. I'm new to this business, but I'm not new to agriculture, and I'm not new to North Dakota. And if you're from North Dakota, you know agriculture if you've ever been involved in public policy. There's no two ways around it. 90% of the land mass in North Dakota is engaged in agriculture. And regardless of what you read in the paper, agriculture is still number one in our state. It is the number one new wealth creator. It has been our jump start to advanced manufacturing and manufacturing in our state as we look at continuing to process. It is our commitment to agriculture goes back a long, long way as we look at institutions like the State Mill and Elevator, which is an institution that's owned by the state of North Dakota. It was a 1920s, 30s project to take control over value added in our state. So we have a long history of promoting value added agriculture. And the Bank of North Dakota was designed to help farmers and try and provide capital when farmers couldn't otherwise get capital, and capital that was maybe a little more responsive to the cyclical nature of farming. We've had good times in North Dakota, and for two reasons. Number one, great weather and great yields, great genetics. You can't argue with what's happening in farm country across the United States, but let me tell you, there's corn in North Dakota where you've never seen corn before, and that is a product of good weather and good genetics. But beyond that, we have had a strong farm bill for North Dakota agriculture. And that strong farm bill has been anchored by a strong crop insurance program. When I ran for this job, I made one simple statement. I said, the number one job of anyone who comes to the United States Congress for North Dakota is getting a farm bill that reflects our needs and provides a safety net for our producers. Because if we don't do well in agriculture in North Dakota, North Dakota doesn't do well. And it's just that simple fact. And so what are our challenges going forward? I'm sure the good senator from Nebraska just outlined some of his criticisms. In fact, yesterday in committee, he voted no on the farm bill. He's not happy with some of the target price provisions that were put in to accommodate concerns of the southern growers. We believe, and I think moving forward, that crop insurance really is the model that we need to pursue. But there also needs to be some shallow loss protection. And as you know, coming from all across the country, guess what? These bills are a product of compromise. And we won't move them forward if we aren't willing to sit down and listen to the concerns of every region. The unique aspect of the Farm Bill in America is it's not partisan. The Farm Bill is regional. North Dakota has different and distinct concerns than the state of Georgia. Even than the state of Nebraska. And so each one of us, as a testament, I think, to the importance of the Farm Bill, we're the only state that has two senators on the Ag Committee. Both John Hovind and I serve on the Ag Committee, and we've been able to work together very closely. In fact, he's attended forums, and I've attended his forums, and I think it sends a message that even though we're in two different political parties, we still have Team North Dakota as it comes to North Dakota agriculture. And so we're proud of what we've been able to accomplish. There's some things that, honestly, we hope come out of this farm bill, and we fought hard in the committee without a lot of success. The big concern that we have is conservation compliance being linked to crop insurance. For those of you who aren't familiar with North Dakota, North Dakota is a place where we didn't tile or do a lot of land mitigation early on in our career. In fact, I always like to tell people when they say, well, you got a 5-year look back, I say, let's tell Iowa we're going to do a 50-year look back. and take a look at what was wet in Iowa and what needs to be restored in terms of wetlands. But North Dakota is a place where we've gone through some wet cycles, particularly in the Northeast, and where we have a tremendous amount of concern about conservation compliance. And it's not phony. It's not phony concern. We haven't experienced, given conservation compliance in Title I programs, that we can tell some stories that are not good stories for us. And I don't think that anyone in North Dakota wants to drive a wedge between the farming community and the conservation community, but we do need to raise these issues and we do need to make sure that we have a safe harbor. Why is it important not to link it to crop insurance? Because I have producers who will opt out of the farm program and just buy crop insurance. That's how adamant they are about conservation compliance and what a nightmare that's been for a lot of our producers. I would tell you, I think that we're going to move pretty quickly on the Farm Bill. I don't know what Mike told you, but my sense is that we might even file a motion to proceed yet this week, which means that next week it's going to be Farm Bill all week, and we might actually pass a Farm Bill out of the United States Senate that is done before Memorial Day. Think about that. And I like to brag that that's early, but Mickle Pates, who Mike knows, a longtime ag reporter in North Dakota, looked at me and he goes, Heidi, it's already a year late. You can't brag that you're early. And I said, you're right. It is already a year late, and we shouldn't be bragging that we're early. But it is important, I think, to lay down the marker and say, this is something that needs to get done. And my challenge, as I talk about this, I say, wouldn't it be great if the United States Senate and this House of Representatives actually went to conference and then collaboratively passed a farm bill, not moments before the expiration of the extension, but months before the expiration of the extension, so that we could give that certainty to our producers and to producers all across this country so they could begin planning their next steps. I want to just take just a couple moments and talk about amendments that we think we're going to see on the floor. You've seen them before. I think the one that is going to be of great concern to us is elimination of the sugar program. I think that will come. I think there will be amendments to reduce the amount of help that we get in the crop insurance program. We're concerned about that. Senator Flake, who was not a friend or not favorably inclined towards crop insurance in this body, now is in the United States Senate. So I think we can anticipate that we're going to see some reduction in help. I think there's some people who think that we cut subsidy or food security too deeply. And so we're going to see some of that. Restoring the $4 billion on SNAP and taking it out of commodity programs or out of crop insurance, we'll see that. I think we'll see an AGI limitation on crop insurance. We're going to have to fight that. And as Mike can tell you, I've not always been known as a champion of wealthy people in my state. But the way I look at that issue is that it diminishes the quality of your insurance product when you take the wealthiest and the people who are best positioned to take loss out of your risk pool. I compare it to if you were going to sell health insurance and you told everybody under the age of 30 who was healthy they couldn't participate in your health insurance. Your pool gets pretty, your risk now just has gone up tremendously in your pool. And I think the same is true with AGI limitators, and we're going to have to fight that fight. Last time it actually ended up on the bill. And so I think we'll work through all that, and it may not be perfect as we would want it as it crosses over to the House. But my concern is what happens over here. And you guys all have a chance to walk down the hall and take a look at the debate and take a look at what's happening. I think it's probably going to be pretty friendly down there. I think they're going to come up with a farm bill. The question is, will that farm bill that they agree to be something that can pass the House of Representatives? Your guess is as good as mine. But I think last time when they say what happened in 2012, they wouldn't bring it to the floor. They wouldn't bring it to the floor because they knew it wouldn't pass. Because the coalition of people between members who are really not favorably inclined at all to a farm bill, ultra-conservative members, along with liberal or urban members who are very concerned about food security, and see those cuts too deep. Now, the question that you have to ask, I think, is there enough in those two groups to stop the passage of a farm bill in the House of Representatives. And that's a judgment call that the committee will have to make, that the leader and the majority leader and the speaker will have to make. They've promised to vote sometime in summer. I would say sooner is better than later. Let's get it done. So I said yesterday when we opened up and had a chance, I said, you know, I ran this whole race and I worked really hard to be a North Dakota United States Senator so I could sit in this chair and work on a farm bill. And so I'm really excited that this is happening. I'm really excited that I was able to get a chair on the farm or on the ag committee. And going forward, I'm the chair of the subcommittee on rural development. And so I'm very excited about that because that'll be the next phase. And as Mike can tell you, with the growth in North Dakota, we really need infrastructure in rural America, but we need to figure out how we're going to leverage those very limited dollars that we have for rural development in our state. So with that, I'd answer any questions. I have a few minutes left. Yeah.
What was the Cochran factor?
The Cochran factor?
Yeah. The shift from Roberts to Cochran.
I think that's why you have target prices in this bill for rice and peanuts that people say will result in greater payments than direct payments. Roberts is not a fan, in fact, at all, and you know this, I'm not a fan at all of target prices, thinks that, you know, his vision for the Farm Bill really is moving everybody into a risk mitigation tool like crop insurance and trying to make that work. And to him, this is a step backwards. I think Joe Hansen, I'm sure he talked about his concern before the WTO, given what happened with the cotton case, given that he thinks that these measures will, in fact, be challengeable under the WTO and will result in a great deal of uncertainty, plus almost a direct payment because of what we're doing right now with cotton. I actually have a little bit of experience in trade, and I have a little bit higher comfort level given how it's organized. But, you know, this is what I said. I didn't come here to write a perfect bill. I never thought that I could write a perfect bill for North Dakota. But I came here to get something done, and that something done means that we compromise. And I know that the chairwoman has been adamant about anything that would result in market distortions. She has been adamant that we not have a program where people plant to the program. And I think there's a debate about whether the target prices that we've established for rice and peanuts means that people are going to plant to the program. But it is not based on planted acres. It's based on base acres. So we'll have the debate, hopefully, in a conference committee. But that's really kind of the hurt. And last time, you know, if you look at what happened in the committee, last time you lost all the Southerners, right? Voted no on the bill and then voted no in on the floor. This time you're losing kind of people who have an ideology about target prices. And that is Thune and Thune and Johans and Roberts. And then Kristen Gillibrand voted against it because of the cuts to food stamps. Yeah.
On the
Well, if our success in the committee yesterday is any indication, it wouldn't have much of a chance on the floor. I was surprised that Saxby spoke against the proposed amendment. He made it pretty clear he thought there should be conservation compliance. I think that's a position he's going to take. And as you know, the conservation community has their own lobbyists. It's not just, you know, farmers. And I think the most sympathetic audience we could get on that issue might have been in that room yesterday. And so I think the great hope is what happens here, because there's not been that linkage in the House. And we're hoping that this will be something that we'll be able to compromise. Now, to her credit, I will say this, to the credit of the chairwoman, a lot of the provisions are, you know, scaled down. There is an attempt to address the things that concern us about this in terms of, you know, how risky is this for our growers? What's the look back periods? What's the potential penalties? And so she made a great effort. We were hurt in what we did by the major farm groups signing on this compromise, along with a lot of the major grower groups. Now, that's not North Dakota's position. But understand, North Dakota has more wet acres than almost any other state because we didn't do this early. And so we kind of feel a little put out that we're now maintaining the flyway for the entire country, and then being told that our participation in the program is at risk because we're just trying to farm. I'll give you an example. When I was Attorney General, and these are conservation has been an issue for a lot of years in North Dakota. In the 1960s, Fish and Wildlife went around and bought up wetland easements. Remember the old wetland easement program? So let's say Grandpa said, oh, yeah, you know, we'll give you an easement. We're never going to drain that. And it's 30 acres. Well, if you've looked at what's happened in northeast North Dakota, it has been, I mean, we're inundated with water up there. So now that 30 acres is 140, right? And so our farmers actually drain down to the original 30 acres. Fish and Wildlife and the U.S. Government didn't charge them or didn't pursue a civil action. They charged them with a crime. It went all the way to the Eighth Circuit. And the Eighth Circuit told, and we filed an amicus on behalf of the ranchers and farmers of our state, saying, this has got to end. The intimidation has got to end, and the fact that you think if there's any moisture at all in that land that is covered by the easement, you've got to identify where those easements are. They still haven't identified where the easements are. We have people who have literally, trying to save their house, have drained a wetland that's right by their house, maybe half an acre, and their risk right now in this process is $750,000. So I've got the horror stories, and they're not pretend. And Mike can tell you this because last during Big Iron, you did a whole session, and people in that room, ranchers who came to hear about conservation compliance, sat silent because they were so afraid if they spoke up that would target them or flag them and their farm. This is not. Make-believe. This is real for our ranchers and our farmers. And even if we're not successful here, we're not done with this issue because people need to understand that these are folks who, they like to hunt, they like birds, they like nature, they are conservationists. Our farmers are conservationists. But the risk that they run is just too great for the value, I think, of the conservation resource. It's just not fair. It's almost a taking. I mean, I don't know that we'd ever be able to argue that legally, but it's very concerning. Yeah, we got to go. Anyway, one more question. Okay.